Good morning, Veritas. Happy New Year. Good to be here with you guys on the last day of 2017. And I'm excited for the next 6 weeks. Last semester, we finished the book of 1 Peter, and our regular habit here at Veritas Church is every Sunday morning we come together and we just study through books of the Bible, and we're taking a little break before we start 2 Peter in February, and we're taking 6 weeks here, and it's called Rhythms. And it's rhythms because our life is dictated so much by our habits, the habits that we form. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we see that Jesus also had habits. And what we want to do is we want to look at the life of Jesus, and we want to imitate that. We want to follow in his steps. In 1 Peter, one of the things that I got out of that book the most was in 1 Peter 2:21, it says that Christ has given you an example so that you would walk in his steps. And remember, we talked about how in Greek the word is grammaton. It's that he's given you the writing underneath. And it's like the way they would teach kids the alphabet was they would give them the writing, and then children would trace over it. And he said, God has given you the writing to put underneath your life, and it's the life of Jesus, and you just trace over it. And so we're going to see this morning, as we talk about God's word, we're going to look at Jesus' habits related to God's word. And then next week, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about sharing, gathering, giving, confession, and some kind of life rhythms that we want to incorporate into our lives as we head into 2018. All right, so I was listening to a podcast, Tim Ferriss podcast, and he was interviewing Mike Rowe, and he's known for Dirtiest Jobs on Discovery Channel. And they were talking about education, which is a passion of Mike Rowe's, and he was talking about education, how we train people and prepare kids, adults for the job market. And he said, here's the thing, people have more access to knowledge and information and education than they've ever had. I mean, you can basically become a PhD in something without ever going to college or anything. The information is all out there. We have more access to education than we have ever had in the history of the world. But here's the problem, they said. The problem is the most important thing you need in education to get all of that great knowledge into your brain and into your soul. What's the one thing you have to have? You have to have curiosity. You have to have a hunger for it. You have to want that education. You have to want it. Okay, so I have two goals this morning. Number one, here's what I want to do. We're talking about God's word. And so what I want to do is I want to arouse hunger this morning. I want to make us curious and to desire to stir up some want. Because I want us, my goal is that I want us to be a church that is filled with God's word in 2018. That 2018 would be a year of God's people being in God's word, being filled with God's word and overflowing with it. So the first part of the message is like, why? Why do we need to be filled with this word of God? And my second goal and the way that I want to do this is I want to show you how to satisfy your hunger with God's word. So it's kind of a why and how. And so, as I mentioned, we're looking at the life of Jesus. He has given us the pattern. If you have a Bible, open to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to be reading the first 11 verses of Matthew 4. So I just realized the scripture that's on the screen is in ESV, and I'm actually reading from the NIV, so try not to let it throw you off too much. All right. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. 40 days without food. As Jesus was going to begin his earthly ministry, he spent time fasting in order to set his attention and his heart and his focus on the mission that God had given him. And now here he is toward the end of his fast, and he's on the brink of starvation, I mean literal starvation, and Satan comes and says, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Satisfy your physical hunger." And Jesus says to him, "You know, what I need is not bread. What I need is God's word. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Here's the first point I want you to write down. We're talking about why 2018 needs to be a year filled with God's word. And the first thing we see from the life of Jesus is that your soul needs God's word like your body needs food. Your soul needs God's word like your body needs food. Why should God's word be a part of your daily life in 2018? Why? Well, that's like asking the question, why should food be a daily part of your life in 2018? Do any of you have plans to eat some food in 2018? Yes. And so it is with God's word. In fact, your soul needs God's word more than, he says, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Why should your life be filled with God's word in 2018? Because without it, you'll die. The cost of not being in God's word and filled with God's word is that you will spiritually starve yourself. And here's the reality. All of us fill our souls with something, don't we? I mean, isn't that why we're all addicted to our cell phones? Because we're curious. We want information. And so we've got Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and all forms of social media. We've got, you know, I'm regularly on ESPN.com. I'm checking the 24-hour news cycle because I'm curious. My soul wants something. I want to be connected to people. I want information. I want to know what's going on. And so I'm feeding my soul because my soul's hungry. I want something. But here's the thing. These things will not satisfy your soul. These things will not satisfy your soul. This would be like a steady diet of donuts and pop, right? I mean, what would you think if you're walking around with an IV that's filled with pop and you're just like strolling around with it and it's like plugged into you and they're like, "What do you got there?" It's like, "Pop." That's going to kill you, right? Well, that's kind of what we do with our soul is we just fill ourselves with junk. So maybe what we need to do is start taking an inventory of what's going in. You know, it's another podcast I was listening to, this guy, he was bequeathing all of his wisdom upon the world, and he was talking about how we are basically just machines. We're just machines, right? and all viruses and that's just a glitch in the system, and we'll get all that figured out and eventually attain immortality. And I was looking at that, yeah, we're just machines. Oh no, Jesus says, you have a soul. And what matters is what you feed your soul. That is interesting, because they got on this, we're just machines, and then they went off on this whole tangent, and one of them lives in Silicon Valley, and he's talking about meditation and how what he does every morning to start with like 25 minutes of meditation, and how he does this self-talk and he speaks to himself, and I just thought, yeah, that's proof we're not just machines, right? You have a soul, and you recognize that your soul is hungry for something, it's craving something, and into that Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the question this morning is, what are you feeding your soul? So Satan says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. That was the first temptation. And then he says, throw yourself down from this temple. And then he goes to the top of a mountain and he says, see all these kingdoms. They could be yours if you will just bow down and worship me. In a point of vulnerability, he attacks Jesus. He attacks his identity with those words, if you're really the Son of God. Does that ever happen to you? If you are really a Christian, you wouldn't struggle with this. If you are really a Christian, dot, dot, dot. Oh, how can you come in and worship God this morning when you know what your break has been like? If you're really, and Satan attacks Jesus' identity, if you're really God, prove it. And he tempts him with his physical desires. All of us have physical desires, not just for food. We have this desire for maybe companionship, physical intimacy, those physical needs that we have. And Satan attempts him in those ways. He tempts him with glory. Hey, skip the cross and go for the crown. And he tries to even stir up doubt in God's plan. Well, God will save you. God wouldn't want you to suffer. Skip the cross and just take the crown. I can give it to you right now. Instant gratification, right here, right now. How could God's plan be for you to suffer? And this is a battle. This is a war. So how does Jesus confront all of these lies from hell? What's Jesus' secret sauce? Because I want it, don't you? I want to know, what does Jesus do as he faces this intense spiritual battle, this showdown with Satan in the wilderness? Well, in the most intense spiritual battle, Jesus fights back with these three words. It is written. It is written. It is written. Second point I want to see from us to see from Matthew 4, your soul needs God's word like a soldier needs a weapon. Your soul needs God's word like a soldier needs a weapon. The battle for our souls is real. That's why Ephesians 6, 12 says that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And he says, so take up the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. And this is exactly what Jesus does. And I don't know about you, but just like in this battle, Jesus is tempted. He's tempted to despair. He's tempted to doubt. He's tempted to anxiety about the future. All those things that Satan tempts him with, questioning his identity. My soul is also given to despair. I have to tell you, guys, I wake up and the battle is real. Like this morning, the very first word out of my mouth was not a great word because my alarm goes off and I had forgotten to turn the volume down and it's like blaring and I like knock it off the nightstand, you know, and it's one of those like, ah, you know, and it's bless the Lord, oh my soul. It was not that, all right? I was mad. I was like, I'm just, like, I haven't even started the day. Like, I don't even remember, like, listen, I don't even remember the thought coming into my brain. It's just like, blah. That's it. That's how my day started. How did your day start? I hope you had a better day. And it's funny because I have this practice of every morning, I try to make the Lord's Prayer, like, the first syllables that hit my tongue and my vocal cords. It's like our Father in heaven. I try to have that practice. And this morning, it's like, I couldn't even do that because my day started in this way. And you know, I know that I'm like a professional Christian, okay? So I know that all of us struggle like that, right? I'm no different than you, and you're the same. And Jesus steps into this battle, and that battle for our soul is real. It is a battle. And it's a battle for like that condemnation over past failures. Or like, oh, you're going to preach the word this morning after that? I mean, come on. Or maybe it's future anxieties. Maybe you wake up this morning with just this weight of like 2018. Oh, there's something in the future that's weighing you down. You're waiting for the results from a test of a biopsy you applied to med school or you, something in the future, uncertainty with your job, concern about the teen years of your children, and or maybe other, your kids are grown, and you feel the weight of that, or maybe your fear of, now will this be the year that I find someone to spend the rest of my life, all those things in the future that can weigh you down, and what we see is this is a battle for our souls. It's a very real spiritual battle, and Jesus, into that battle, speaks those three words three times. It is written. It is written. It is written. And I'm telling you, if you're in the battle and you do not have God's word filling your soul, and when Satan comes to you and tempts you to despair and anxiety and fear, and if you can't say, it is written, when you're fearing the unknown biopsy or the results of that exam or whatever, if you're not able to say, my life is hid with Christ in God, I'm going to be good. Colossians 3. If you can't say after the bad result that you didn't want, 2 Corinthians 4, for I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For though outwardly I am wasting away, yet inwardly I am being renewed day by day. For my light and momentary trouble, it's achieving for me an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Why should God's word be a part of your daily life in 2018? It's like asking, why should a soldier carry a weapon? Because there's an enemy that wants to kill them. That's why they carry a weapon. And the weapon we carry is God's word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. A Christian without God's word on their lips and in their heart is a soldier running around an intense battle without a weapon. And if you feel if you're like, I'm good, man, because I've got all these self-help books for 2018, and I'm going to do some self-improvement, and I'm going to do better, be better, try harder, and I've got 7 habits of all this thing. Now, you know, I'm just going to fill myself with that. Well, that may be like a Nerf gun in battle or something. You don't need that. That's okay. Use all that stuff, but I'm saying God's word. Be in the word of God. This is our why. Jesus has given us a pattern to trace, and what we see in Matthew 4 is that God's word is food for our soul and a weapon in battle. So now I want to transition. I want to ask the question, okay, how? How do we become this kind of person? How do we become the kind of person that the word of God just flows out of? All right. So I was thinking about this. I'm 41. I've been walking with Jesus now for about a little over 30 years. And there are two essential things. If I try to boil it down, this topic of God's word, to a couple things, here's the two things that I would say. I mean, the first idea is if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time, don't you? Right? If you just walk around and you have no ambition and no goals and no plan, it's like you'll achieve that every single time. Like, not much is going to happen. But if you actually have a plan, like, you're more likely to accomplish it. You're more likely to do something. Even if you don't accomplish your plan, you're actually going to do something. So the first point I want you to think about in terms of how to apply this is to make a plan to do two things: to read and memorize the Bible. Make a plan to read and memorize the Bible. Now, a plan. If you walk out of here and are like, man, I was really motivated, it was a really good sermon, but you don't have a plan, then that's just good intentions that are gonna lead you nowhere. You have to have a plan, a strategy. All right, and this has to be two things: read and memorize the Bible. So read. Let me talk about this first one, reading it. Okay, one of my favorite things to do is that every year I get a new Bible. Every year I get a new Bible and I read that Bible. So this year, and I've done all kinds of different things. I've tried reading different translations. For like 10 years, I just read the NIV Bible and read through all these Bibles. And when I'm done, I put it on the shelf, and then I get a new Bible. And I found out Salvation Army gave out free Bibles, and so I would just go to the section and find a Bible, and just that was my Bible for the year. And I would mark it up, and it felt fresh to me. I didn't want to read what I, you know, underlined last year. Like, I wanted it to be fresh. God's got new mercies for me today. So I read it, and this, you know, and then I did read through the ESV because I wanted to get familiar with that, and then the Holman translation, and then one year I tried to do it all on my phone and hated that year, didn't love it at all. Just like, I needed like the hard copy, and I'm spitting all over the place. Sorry if you can see that. Sorry, front row. I love the hard copy. I like to see the story. I like to see where I'm at in the story. So this year I got an NIV. It's like got the journal, places where you can journal on the sides. And one of the things I don't love about this is it's like super heavy and big and bulky. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do next year. But this is what I'm doing this year. I would encourage you read. We've got Bible reading plans out at Info Central. It says in your program, we have it on every seat. Apparently, the printing company was shut down for the last week or whatever, so we weren't able to get one of those printed off for all of you. We'll have them next week. But there are 60 of those for the first 60 people that want to take one. Bible reading plan. You can read through the Bible in a year. That's a great idea for you. Some of you don't like to read, and that's okay. Some of you don't like to read. That's okay, because we live in a world where there's audio versions of everything. Okay, you can have your phone read it to you. So all you have to do is download an app. Like, I tried this. You go to the app store and you just type Bible, and it pulls up the YouVersion, and you just download that thing, okay? And you can listen to it. You can just... It opens it up. It's got a verse of the day. If you want to click on the listen, you can just listen to God's word. You don't have to wake up every morning and be by yourself with a coffee in hand and your Bible spread open and just this beautiful quiet moment. And, you know, if that happens to you, make sure and take a picture of it and get it on Instagram to make sure that it really happened, okay? If you do that, there's like extra points for posting that kind of stuff. But like, you don't have to do that, okay? You don't have to. What you can do is wake up, you can eat, and then on your way into work, You can just purpose, this would be a great plan. You have a 10-minute commute to work. Okay, so instead of just, popping on the radio or whatever, just like cue up, put on your seatbelt, open it up, boom, hit play, and just listen to a chapter of the Bible on your way in. Just take 5 minutes. It takes 3 to 5 minutes for the narrator to read the chapter. When the chapter's done, just turn it off. And then just spend some time praying, just thinking and praying. That would be a great plan for you. That's 10 minutes of your day. And that's going to be even more worthwhile than brushing your teeth every day. Just 10 minutes on the commute, and only do it Monday through Friday. Take Saturday and Sunday off, right? You're good for that. Just Sunday, you're going to hear the word. It's just Monday through Friday, your commute in, 10 minutes. If you have a 30-minute commute, just take 10 minutes of that and do that. Just listen to the word. Get it in your mind and in your heart. If you can have a plan to incorporate the scriptures into what you're already doing, all the better. Lisa and I have a friend, Jen Lee. She was training for a marathon, and she just started memorizing scripture. She memorized a ton of scripture training for this marathon. I've got this guy who, he memorized the whole book of Romans just at stoplights, right? It's really that easy. You just incorporate it into your daily life. Find those habits that you have and just incorporate God's word. I was out at my workbench, and we had this treadmill, and I found this little notebook, and it was like the whole book of Proverbs written out. I'm like, Lisa, she would just go out, and while she was walking on the treadmill, she would write out the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of different ways to incorporate God's word into your life based on the things that you're already doing, okay? So some of you are asking, but where do I start? I mean, this is a big, intimidating book. Some of you are new to this. Here's what I encourage you to do. We're reading through Matthew right now, Matthew 4. Just start in Matthew. Or take one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just start reading about the life of Jesus. All four of those books tell about the life of Jesus from different perspectives, different angles. Maybe you want to do one of the epistles. I would encourage that. They're short letters that were written to the churches in the New Testament. Those are great, like Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You can take any of those books and just read through those. They're super applicable. There's a lot of good stuff in there. Maybe you want to take the Psalms and Proverbs, but incorporate reading the scriptures and getting it into your life. And maybe what you want to do is just ask someone. Ask someone that you think might be a person that has God's word in their heart, and say, what do you do? And then ask them, can I do it with you in 2018? All right, so let's transition to the second part of that point about reading and memorizing the Bible. What if I told you, I just did this whole point on how we're supposed to read God's word. What if I told you, I've only actually sat down and read my Bible. If you could open my Bible and see where I was just reading through 1 Corinthians, you'd be like, Mark, December was kind of rough, right? Because you only read the Bible 5 days in December. What if I told you that that's what happened? Because that actually is what happened. What would you say to me? You might say, maybe you should be fired. You're a pastor. You should read your Bible every day, and you should practice what you preach. Okay. Now, you guys know this, right? You can't reduce your Christian life to how much you open the Bible and read it, right? How are you doing spiritually? Well, I've been reading my Bible. It's like, well, who cares? That's not always the best indication of how you're doing spiritually, because it's about loving Jesus and loving people, and some of the most arrogant, proud people, unteachable people I know read their Bible every day and know it backwards and forwards. Okay, so that's not all it is. That's where this next point is so important, to memorize the Bible. Because this last month of December for me was one of the most Spirit-filled, Word-centered, Bible-saturated months of my life. Because something that happened to me this last year was I was really struggling with, different struggles and challenges in family, in ministry, and I've got this men's group. We meet on Wednesday mornings, and one of my friends, John, read to me, said, I have this verse for you. It may resonate with you. And he just read Psalm 27. He read the last two verses, verses 13 and 14. And I was like, oh, that's so good. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. And then I got a call later that day from my mom. And my mom was like, hey, you were just on my heart today. I was praying for you. And I just wanted to read you this from Psalm 27. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait. And it's at that point where it's like, most people get it quicker than I would, but it's like, oh, maybe that's from the Lord. And so I just began like reading through Psalm 27 every day. And pretty soon, like this last month in December, I just, every morning would just like think about a verse from Psalm 27. And then my habit became Lord's Prayer. And then I would just begin to pray through Psalm 27. And then pretty soon, Psalm 27 became a part of my soul. You know, I took a screenshot of it from the Bible app. And I just, every time I opened my phone, I would look at it and just look at a verse and try to meditate on it, memorize it. And then all of a sudden, pretty soon it became, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When wicked men rise against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. There's one thing I ask. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to behold him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent. He will set my feet high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. And at his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call to you, O Lord. O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. And my heart says of you, seek his face, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord, he will receive me. And then I can't remember what it says, but then it gets to the great part where it says, yet I remain confident of this. This is so good. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait for the Lord. And as I'm walking to do a hospital visitation, I'm in the elevator, and I just begin to pray for this Veritas person who's in the hospital. And my prayer for them is, oh God, this is a day of trouble for them. Keep them safe in your dwelling. Hide them in the shelter of your sacred tent. And then 2 weeks later, I saw that man in church, and he said, Mark, you'll never believe this. When I was on the table, I don't know if his heart had stopped beating and they were trying to get him back. He said, I had a vision. And I was in the presence of Jesus. And this peace just came over me. And God answered the prayer. He kept him safe in his sacred tent. You guys, all scripture, everything in this book is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. The last point I want to make as we think about how to incorporate God's word into our life is simply this. Every single spiritual discipline that I have started doing in my life, I have eventually stopped doing. Now, some of you are kind of jaded about the whole New Year's resolutions because you're pretty old by now and you're like, dude, I'm done with it. Because I've already started. I've done that like 20, it never works, right? I always start them, I never finish them. And that's how it has been for me with the spiritual life. Like, I have this ambition to memorize scripture. And I'm talking a big game about memorizing scripture. Watch, I'll go like 6 months and I won't memorize anything, right? I start reading the Bible and then I stop reading it. And the reading plan, I hit Leviticus and it's like, ooh. And then does that happen to you? Like, I'm going to start journaling. I bought this journal, I'm going to start journaling. And I journal for a while, and then I stop journaling. Or I start fasting. I'm really going to fast. Every Wednesday, I'm going to fast. I start doing it, and then I stop doing it. So here's what I've learned, and this is one of the most important principles, I believe, in the spiritual life, and it's simply this. Master the restart. As a Christian, you have to become an expert at starting over. Because whatever you start doing, you'll stop doing eventually. So what you have to get good at is just restarting. I don't feel bad that I stopped reading my Bible. I'm just going to start reading again. I'm not going to try to make up for lost time like I'm doing Bible penance. Like I have to get through the video. Just skip, okay? Just go to the date and start reading. Just master the restart. That's what I love about New Year. I think that God has built into us this idea of a time of reflecting on the past and starting anew, starting over. And 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to study this. He says, make every effort to add to your faith. Make every effort to add to your faith. And some of us have a problem with that. I was talking to a guy, and we were playing basketball, and afterwards we're talking about Christianity, and he goes, my problem with, I don't think you have to go to church. I don't think you have to read your Bible. Like, I'm a spiritual person, and I disagree with, because all my life people said, if you don't read your Bible, you're not a Christian. And so we read in the scriptures where it says, make every effort to add to your faith, and we're like, ooh, I don't know, that doesn't sound very gospel-centered. Listen, this is important. The gospel is not anti-effort. The gospel is anti-earning. There's a big difference between effort and earning. When I was in grade school, my first grade teacher had a marble jar. Now, this was a brilliant tactic to get all of us to be well-behaved kids, because every time we were really well-behaved, the end of the day, we would hear this tink, and it was her picking up a marble and putting it in the jar. And she said, when you guys have earned from your good behavior a full marble jar, then we're going to have a party. And so every day that, at the end of the day, we were like, were we good? Were we good? She's like, you're not getting a marble today. Because Billy had a rough day, we're not having a marble in the jar. And so when we had a substitute teacher, man, she would get like a bunch of marbles if we were really good and like put them all in. And we would like, we could see it fill up. And some of us approach our relationship to God and reading the Bible like it's some kind of marble jar. Like every time we read the Bible, God puts a marble in. And when it gets full, he blesses us, right? Like if we're on good behavior, God will bless us. And if we really read the Bible a lot this year, God will bless us in 2018. Okay, God doesn't have a marble jar. Okay, that's not how God works. Okay, you can be a Christian and not read your Bible. My question is, why would you? It's like you can be a human and not eat in 2018. But why would you? You can be a soldier and go into battle without a weapon. You can do that. It's possible. But why would you do it? Okay, so Peter is saying to us, this is going to take some effort. This is going to take some work. And that's different than earning, not the marble jar. This is, oh God, I want to know you more. And so I'm gonna put some sweat into this. I'm gonna put some hard work into this because I want to be a person who walks in the footsteps of Jesus. And so to do that, we're just gonna have to get good at starting over every day. Man, I had a failed yesterday, I failed last week, I failed last month. Some of you, just get over it. 2017's done after today. It's a new day tomorrow. Just start tomorrow. Okay? All right. So for me, I think one of the single most important aspects of the Christian life is just to keep coming. Just keep showing up. Just keep starting over. Persistence. Okay, so here's how I want to end our time together. Is I want us to end by applying this message. We are going to spend some time with God in His Word together. Okay, so worship team, you guys come on up. And I'm going to put this scripture up on the screen from John 16, 33. And go ahead and put it up on the screen here. And these are the words of Jesus in John 16. This is right before He leaves planet Earth, before the crucifixion. And He tells His disciples, I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So here's what I want us to do. As the band just kind of plays behind us, I want us to take some time and just allow God's word. This is God's word. Men and women, boys and girls, you do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Would you just read this as the band plays? Just read it. Take some time. This is the voice of Jesus to us. Just close your eyes and just respond to Him. He says, I'm telling you these things so that in me, think about that. So that in me, you will have peace. Think of what Jesus said in me. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Think about what Jesus is saying in John 16. I'm going to be with you in 2018. You are not going to go anywhere in 2018 that Jesus has not already been. You're not going to take one step without Jesus. He said, I'm going to be with you so that in me, you may have peace. Not in my circumstances. In me, you may have peace. And then he says, in this world, you will have trouble. Jesus is saying to you right now, 2018 is going to involve some trouble. Oh, but take heart. Take heart. Be courageous. Fear not. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Let's come to Jesus. Let's come to him.